Welcome to Life Church, where we believe in equipping people for an extraordinary life in Christ through the Word, Spirit, and relationships. We hope this podcast will enlighten and bless you.
Go ahead and grab your Bibles, if you would, please. Hold those up in the air. Repeat this after me. This is my Bible, and I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have, and I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open my heart and my mind to God's Word today. Amen. All right, open your Bibles, if you would, please, to the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We are talking about doing greater things. And so today, in doing greater things and kind of unpacking more and more of where we want to go with the vision and where our finances are going to go as we're doing greater things, there's a word I want to talk about today. So write it in your notes. How many of you have your notebooks with you? Come on, celebrate note takers. We love you, note takers. That means you're anticipating something worth hearing. I love that. So today's word that we're going to be working through is the word omnipresent. Omnipresent. A simple definition of the word omnipresent basically means to be present in all places at all times. Be present in all places at all times. God is omnipresent. Isn't that awesome? Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter if you're in some hole in the wall. Doesn't matter if you're in a valley somewhere. Doesn't matter. The Lord is there. I love that. But we know that in this generation, God's presence is everywhere, but God shows up in a tangible way through his body, the church. Do you see that? So let's say in your factory that you work in or the school that you teach in, God is there, but he shows up with solutions. He shows up, you know, revealing himself through human beings. You're his hands, you're his feet. And so the idea of being omnipresent, I want to bring it into the concept of the local church, to us, Life Church, to saying that we, by God's grace, want to be everywhere there's hurting people. Is that true? Do you agree with me on that? That anywhere there's someone in darkness, anywhere there's someone hurting, that God show up in that place, omnipresent, in a human being to help another human being. That's our heart. That's our desire to help make that happen. See, here's the deal. Most hurting people, most people in darkness are not going to just find us. We were meant to find them. If we want to be omnipresent, that's a decision that we make to say we want to show up everywhere all the time. We want to be available where the hurting people are. That's being omnipresent. See, the whole concept of God is God left his throne and came to where the hurting people were, right? And so many times, church, we get into this practice of sitting in our church rather than sending ourselves out to where the hurting people are. And that's being omnipresent. That's going into all the world. It's what we're really talking about today. A couple years ago, one of our current board members, when he first came to Life Church, he was so excited about the service. Afterwards, he met me in the lobby, and he said this, and he meant it in a complimentary way, but it really resonated with me, and it's become a challenge in my spirit since the day he said it. But he said, oh, Pastor Kevin, he said, Life Church is the best kept secret in Rockford. Now, for him, he was trying to say, this was awesome. I'm so glad we discovered it. But in my mind, I realized something, that we're the best kept secret. I don't want to be a secret in this region. And the truth is, if anyone's going to know about it, it's because we decide to let them know about us. See, we put way too much emphasis on them finding us again rather than us showing them who we are, helping them discover who we are. And that's what omnipresence is about. That's a decision that we in Life Church need to make, a shift that we need to make in our minds that says, look, we've decided something. Because when you decide something, the Holy Spirit gives you the plan of how to make it happen. You believe that? When you make a decision on something for the kingdom of God, the Holy Spirit goes to work to give you a plan how to make that happen. And so we as a church, and remember, the church is not a building. This building will not go into all the world, right? This building will not grow legs and walk into the city of Rockford. That would be a sight to see. But if we're going to be omnipresent, present where the hurting people are, present where the people are in darkness, present where when there's brokenness, there's people there with the capacity to solve it. We as Life Church, if we want to be that, we make a decision to then be that, and it creates the path of what we need to take to do that and make it happen. Matthew chapter 5, here we go, verse 14, Jesus speaking. You are the light of the world. You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they put it upon a candlestick that it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let me break this down just a little bit. You are the light of the world. I speak that over you right now. It's time for us, the body of Christ, and specifically you, Life Church, to realize who you are. You are the light of the world. If the darkness is going to be turned into light, it's going to happen because the light decided to change darkness into light. Does that make sense? We have to own that identity to realize this is me. If this city is ever going to light up with the goodness of God, it's because the light decides to light it up. But if you're denying the fact that you're the light, if you're not owning that fact or that reality or realizing that being the light is your responsibility, what I love about being light is no matter how dark something is, light always wins. So we don't brag about how dark things are. We get to talk about how light the light of God is. Now, what's cool about you is you are the light of the world. You did not earn that. You did not pay for that. You were made the light of the world because you were brought into Jesus, who is the light of the world. And now you are his body. And the light that shines out of you is him. And the light that this world in darkness is going to see, they're going to see it in you. Your light was given to you. It's a position by grace. The reason I say that is sometimes we don't see ourselves as the light in a situation. We're looking to other people to be the light, someone better than you. But do you understand, in Jesus, we all have one righteousness and it's his. There's no one better than you. You are there for a reason. You are the light set in that house, that factory, that school, that neighborhood for a reason. But if you don't adopt that as your identity and say, that's me, I'm the light in this generation, in this season, then we're never going to shine. So I ask you today to adopt that identity that you are the light of the world. And it says that you are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. That hill is a place of influence. Notice that God sets that city, his church, his people, in a lifted up, elevated place. God wants our light to be seen. You know, it's the nature of light to be seen. Now, this might be counterintuitive to some of us who thinks that being Christian means being humble, which means not letting people see us. I'm asking you today to adopt a different perspective, that the darkness needs to see the light. Yes, there's some places for humility, but it has nothing to do with hiding who you are in Jesus. It has nothing to do with not taking your responsibility to be a light in this dark generation. We are a city on a hill. Why are we set on that hill? I believe so that people who are in the valley of the shadow of death can look up and see hope. That there's hope, that those Christians, those believers, they have answers, they have solutions. They are God's connection into this planet to get the will of God into their lives so that people who live in a valley can look up and see our light. There's a place where we have to want to be seen and we have to make ourselves available to be seen. And Jesus here says, you are a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto the whole house. And I love this is verse 16. This is where we come in now. Let your light so shine. That is a decision that we have to make. Will we let our light shine? It's not a whether or not you are light. You are light. If you've given your heart to Jesus, you've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You are partakers of his divine nature. Amen. You've been washed, you've been cleansed, you are the body of Christ in the earth, and if you've allowed the Lord to fill you with the Spirit, you're filled with the Spirit of God, that's awesome, which means you have the mind of Christ, you have the gifts of the Spirit in operation, you have the same anointing that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, amen? Which I love, that anointing that raised Jesus from the dead, that's the same Holy Spirit that was on Jesus. By the way, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. That same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Do you realize that the devil could have stopped one thing? He would have stopped Jesus from raising from the dead, but the same Spirit that rose Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that is in you, which means if he couldn't stop Jesus from raising from the dead, he can't stop you from being who God has called you to be in this generation. It's the same power. It's not about you earning to be the light. I'm trying to help you understand today, we are the light. And we are Spirit-filled light, and we are problem solvers. This world needs us. The devil doesn't get to decide whether or not you shine. The Bible says here, you decide. Verse 16, let your light shine. It's like Jesus is asking his people, will you let who I've made you be come out? Will you give yourself over to doing good things in front of a hurting world that sees bad things all the time? Will you go out into this dark place and will you be who I created you to be? Because we are the ones that hold ourselves back. We are the ones that limit our potential. Are you understanding this? The devil doesn't get to play that game with you. He's under your feet. Stop blaming the devil for you living a small life. Amen. The question is, will you let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify our Father that's in heaven? This world is filled with bad news all the time. This world is filled with negativity and darkness and fear-driven information. And what God is wanting the church to do is preach the good news, the good things that God is still doing in this generation. He wants us to preach it with our actions. He wants us to communicate it with our words. He wants us, the light, to get out into darkness and let them know there's hope. The city on the hill, that you don't have to be lost in that valley, that God is still alive in this generation. And that's going to happen by the way we live. That's going to happen by us being omnipresent, the living light, the good works of God at the factory, at the school, in the neighborhood, sharing testimonies that God is still a healer. God is still a deliverer. God can still bind up the broken heart. God can still heal the body or bring abundance in a famine. God can still do that, and he is still doing that. Do you see what I'm saying? But the people who live in darkness don't know any of that. And what we want them is, well, they should go to church. No, the church should go to them. And shine, 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 shine. Because we made a decision to bring the light to where they are. We made a decision not to wait for them to find us, but rather for us to find them and to be that light in front of them. And so there's two thoughts I want to fill your heart with, your spirit with today. If I could just somehow place this concept into your mind. The first sentence is this. Write it in your notes. I want you to know me. I want you to know me. If you, as the body of Christ, as the light of this world, if you could have that sentence ringing in your ears when you meet someone at Starbucks, like the cashier, when you meet someone at Target, when you bump into someone at Schnucks or you're at work and you think to yourself, oh, I want you to know me. Because you know who you are. Do you see what I'm saying? They may not know why they need to know you, but it doesn't matter if they know why they need to know you. You know why they need to know you. And you start becoming a real blessing in their life. You start getting to know them. You start showing up more proactively. You start being present because you know you carry a light and you can see that their life is hurting and their life is in pain. And I'm not looking at you to go there just to preach at them. I'm asking you to go there and love on them and start doing good works and shining the light of Jesus in their life. Do you see what I'm saying? But if you don't have that concept in your heart that says, oh, I want you to know me, which is so counterintuitive to where so many people in this generation live. Because in this generation, the devil's done a really good job of breaking down people's self-esteem and personal identity from the day you were born. Do you realize what a trap that is of the enemy in our generation? It was an assignment against you from when you were in elementary school to make you believe all the lies about yourself, that you're not worth anything, that you have nothing to give, and you've been hiding your light since you were a little kid. Some of the words spoken over you by your parents, some of the things that other people did to break your spirit, it wasn't just them. I'm telling you, there was an assignment on our lives so that you would never want people to see you, that you would hide yourself. Why? Because one day you'd realize your life in Jesus. One day Jesus would make you the light, but you'd have this habit of hiding yourself. You have this mindset of self-preservation, and so you wouldn't let your light shine because you're afraid of the opinions and the fear of men, which is a snare, the Bible says. Are you understanding this? And so if I could do one thing today is to help shift your mentality rather than saying, oh, I hope they don't see me, to having a mentality that says, oh, I can't wait for them to know me. To show up at work, to show up in life, to show up in this world, and to say, I am on assignment to be a blessing. I am on assignment to shine the good works of God in this world. You need to know me. I love that. I keep speaking this over your life so that you can adopt a different identity about yourself. But you might say, Pastor Kevin, you don't know my background. I don't have the education. I don't have the finance. I don't have this. I know what you do have. You have Jesus living alive on the inside of you. And you have access to everything heaven has to offer. And beyond that, you have a heart filled with love and kindness and generosity and goodness. And this world is very short on all of those things. And the other thing this world is short on is people that give a care about anybody else other than themselves. And so you immediately come to the surface of one of the most influential people in your world when you say, you need to know me so that I can be a blessing to your life. I'm not saying you need to know me so I can be famous. I'm saying you need to know me because I'm here to serve and make your life better. I'm here to add a value to your life. I am on assignment to bring light into your darkness. And I'm going to bring you out of that darkness because I know how to do it. I'm a spirit-filled believer, and I'm on assignment. I'm a city on a hill. I wasn't meant to be hidden. I was born and put in this generation to be seen, not to be seen to be famous, but to be seen to be effective. Come on, somebody. But you have to adopt that, or you'll never be omnipresent. We'll never penetrate this generation or this city if we're hiding ourselves all the time. And we're learning about who we are, but we're not living it out loud, and we're not being it. And we're learning having all these tools and all these weapons, all these spiritual gifts that do nothing until we engage into a world that needs every single one of those things. We already know enough to change the world. It's just getting the light out there into darkness. Amen. I want you to know me. You know, Jesus walked around thinking, I mean, think about it, that was in his mind, don't you think so? Walking through the streets of Jerusalem, I want you to know me. I want you to know me. Because he knew he could set them free. He knew he could forgive them of their sin. He knew. Now, I want them to know me because I want them to know the God in me. Because I want them to know the truth that has set me free. I want them to know me because of the quality of what the good work that God has done in my life. I want them to know me so I can bring those things into their life. But you have to adopt that. To be omnipresent, you have to want to be present. You have to want to be seen. You have to want to exist. And that's why I also believe that about this church corporately. I believe this region needs to know you. It's not okay that we're the best kept secret because there's too much potential here. There's too much solution to problems here. The hurting world needs you. But we're waiting for them to find us rather than going out and letting them know who we are and that we're here to help. We're not here to grow a big church. We're here to be a helpful church. There's a difference. There's a difference in motivation where people want crowds or people want to help people. I want us to go out into the world and help every single person because I know you have the capacity to help every single person you come in contact with. I know you, Life Church. You are amazing because of who God has created you to be. You are filled with power. You're filled with truth. You are filled with potential. So that first thought is, I want you to know me. The second thought is, you need what we have. You need what we have. I don't want people to come join a little Christian country club and say, come to Life Church because it makes us famous and bigger. I want you to come here because I know people who come to Life Church get delivered of sin. I want you to come to Life Church because I know people who come here get addictions broken off their life. I want you to come to Life Church because I know that the prophetic word flows through here and we know how to hear God on a level and speak things in your life that only God would know so that you know God sees you and you know that God has his hand on your life and God isn't done with you and he begins to breathe a word over your future that brings life and then power to produce what he said. I want you to come here and to get what we have because we have the ability to help you get filled with the Holy Spirit. We have the ability to train you in the Word of God. We have the ability to raise your kids in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. We have the ability to help you live a big, generous life and to not be a self-centered Christian, but to be one that's here to serve with a missional life to help this world make it better. I want you to know this place. I want you to have what this place has to offer. Amen. There's a tale of two kings I want to tell you about. The tale of two kings, tale of King Saul and tale of King David. For those of you that are new to the Bible, you may not know these stories, but Israel was God's chosen people. Through Israel came Jesus. God made a covenant with a guy named Abraham and created the nation of Israel out of him. At one point in Israel's Old Testament history, they clamored for a king. The first king was a guy by the name of King Saul. Well, his name wasn't King Saul. His name was Saul. The Bible says that he was head and shoulders above everybody else in the nation. He was taller than everybody else, so he was tall. And he was handsome, so now he was tall, dark, and handsome. Well, there you go, King Saul. You know what I'm talking about. All right. He's tall, dark, and handsome. But when it came time for Saul to be seen, When it came time for Saul to lead, the Bible says that he was hiding in the luggage. He was hiding in the luggage. They had to go look for him. The Holy Spirit had to give the prophet eyes to find him because he was hiding out in the handbags. He was called to lead. He was called to conquer nations. Come on now. He was called to bring a generation into prosperity. But when it came time for him to live out loud, he was hiding in the handbags. The Bible goes on to say the second king of Israel was a guy named David. David was the son of Jesse, overlooked by his brothers and his father, especially when it came time for the prophet to come and anoint the next king. They didn't even think about David, but God knows where David was. The Bible says David was out tending sheep in the field, and Samuel said, "Do you have any other sons?" And he said, "Yeah, well, we got this son out here in the field named David." He says, "Bring him in." The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He was anointed the next king of Israel. And when David shows up for his big introduction to the nation of Israel, it was when Israel was at war with the Philistines. And there was a giant named Goliath. Some of you are familiar with the giant named Goliath and the story of David and Goliath. But in that moment, when the nation needed their leader, first of all, King Saul was still their leader, and he was still hiding in the luggage. He was hiding in his tent. But David, when it was his turn to lead, when it was his time to help the nation, he didn't go hide. He knew he was anointed. And he went running after the giant. Not thinking about his own self, but thinking about the people that he was about to help set free and protect from being put in slavery and into bondage. Let me put these two kings together. So King Saul, his spirit, his mindset, when it was time for him to lead, it was more about self-preservation. He didn't want to be embarrassed. He didn't want to fail or do it wrong. Really, self-preservation turns into self-centeredness. Do you understand that? You might think, oh, it was humility. He was hiding in the luggage. No, it was pride that was putting him in the luggage. And that same pride plagued Saul throughout his whole life. That same self-centeredness throughout Saul's whole rule, his whole reign, his self-centeredness continued to be a problem in his life. He always put Saul first rather than God and his people first. Do you understand that? It was God had anointed him to lead. God had anointed him to be king. God had anointed him to be a blessing to the generation. But Saul's insecurity, Saul's self-centeredness became pride. And Saul literally had the kingdom ripped away from him, and he destroyed his very nation and led them into all kinds of sin. But David lived, and David ran after the giant because he wasn't worried about himself. He was worried about other people. Here's what I found out. Whenever I think about myself, I can get fearful. When I think about me, I can pull back on being the light. When I walk into a Starbucks, when I walk into a school, or I walk into somebody's home, or I even walk into the hospital or something like that, and if I'm thinking about, what are they gonna think about me? I can become afraid. But the moment, like David, I don't think about me and I'm thinking about them, that fear goes away. The only time I'm afraid is when I'm thinking about me. Do you hear me here? When it talks about being a light, when I'm saying go shine your light, do your good works, let's get out in this community, let's be omnipresent, let's help them to see and understand the light of Jesus that's on the inside of us, let's start loving on other people and being interested in their lives. When I'm thinking about them, I can talk to them about them. I can be loving and compassionate and do a good work to help them. But if I'm thinking about me, what are they going to think about me? Are they going to think I'm foolish? Is this, how do I look right now? Am I doing it right? And when I'm thinking about me, I become like Saul. I want to go hide in the luggage. But when I think like David and says, they need me. This nation needs me. I'm telling you, Rockford needs this church. Rockford needs the light of God on the inside of you. Roscoe, McChesney Park, Love's Park needs the light that's on the inside of you. Do you believe that? Do you believe you have something to give them that'll make their life better? So your motivation in going is about them. And if we don't go, then we're withholding the very thing that we know will change our city. We're waiting for our city to change, and yet God has put the keys of the nation and the city in our hands. Amen. Will we let our light shine? Part of doing greater things is to become present in our own region, to be there, to be there. Please, I pray as we grow as a church that we realize church is not about coming to a building. Church is what we are. We are the kingdom. We are the church. And so if you're out at work, the church is at your place of business. If you're at Target, the church is at Target. If you're at Starbucks, the church is at Starbucks. If you're at the school, the church is there because you're there. And that's the idea of omnipresence everywhere, all the time. To be present in our own region, to be present, we cannot help them if we're not there where they're hurting. So we intentionally put ourselves where they are. The idea of being present, write this in your notes, is to be visible and available. To be visible and available for them. They need us. Whether or not they know they need us. And I don't need them to tell me they need us. I know they need what's in me. I'm not waiting for their approval for them to tell me, oh, I needed you. It doesn't matter if they recognize they need me or not. I know they need me. You know your family needs you. You know this nation needs you. Amen. And we're not waiting for them to open the door and give us permission because they don't know what they don't know. They don't know what's in us. We know what's in us. They're spiritually dead. They live in darkness. They don't know what the light feels like. So many times we're waiting for people to open a door of permission to let us into their lives when all we're saying is, let me in and I just want to love you. Let me in. I just want to be present. I want to serve you. I want to let my light shine in front of you so that when the time comes and if you're ever ready, you'll know what light looks like. You'll know what love looks like. You'll know what a life on a hill could look like. And so when you're ready, that thought is already there because I've been present, visible and available in your life. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. How can they call on him to save them unless they believe in him? How can they believe in him if they've never heard of him? Someone has to show them. Someone has to tell them. The people that live in darkness. How can they hear about him unless someone tells them? And how will anyone go and tell them without being sent? This is what the scripture says. How beautiful are the feet of the messengers who bring good news. So here's some of the things that I want us to be able to do as a church over the next few months in doing greater things. To become present, to become available, to become visible, to shine good works into our city. Number one is I want to start using our social media better. So many of you are on social media right now. I love it. And let me say something about social media. Social media is not going away. There are people, Christians all the time, who are like, well, I'm not going to get on social media. It's full of bad stuff and junk and it's just full of evil. Social media is not going away. And if it's full of evil, it's because there's not enough Christians on there putting good stuff on it. So rather than cursing it, let's go light it up. Let's go show good works, what Jesus is doing on social media. What if on social media, rather than seeing all kinds of advertisements for garbage or people's stories of garbage, what if you saw stories of healing? What if you saw stories of people coming out of bondage and addiction? What if you saw people sharing Facebook Lives about how their marriage has been restored because the Word of God worked in their marriage? What if you saw people bragging on Jesus and living good things out loud and talking about the good things that are in this world when everywhere else in the world is preaching the bad? What if we could talk about the good? Because I'm telling you, God is doing a whole lot more than our media is telling the world about. There are people that are just wanting social media to go away. Look, it's not going away. It's getting bigger. And so we either get on board or we give it over to the people that are going to preach their darkness. The same thing happened with television. The Christians got out of TV, and what remains is everything left over. TV didn't go away, but Christians got out of television. Do you see what I'm saying? You can't sit there and curse the darkness if we're not willing to light it up. We're the ones that have the power to bring light. And so I want to use our soul. Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. You can still celebrate that. I love social media because it's the World Wide Web. It goes everywhere. And I love it because it's free, thank Jesus. Come on now. It's a free medium, bridge to shine light. If we just became intentional and made a decision about putting quality things out there and joining together and letting people know that God is still doing good things in our world. I want to use our social media better. As a church, I would love to even start using advertisement, things like radio, TV, newspapers, mailers, billboards, things like that, into this generation. We've never really leveraged any of that stuff to let the community know that even Life Church exists. Like, what's going on out there in Roscoe? They have no idea what's going on in Roscoe. They don't come to Roscoe. There's nothing in Roscoe to draw them for entertainment. Do you see what I'm saying? We don't have an amusement park. We don't have a mall. We have Louis Tap House and Molly's slot machines. come on out to Roscoe for a good old time. They don't know that there's stuff in Roscoe that could change their life. They don't know there's a move of God happening here on a weekly basis. They don't know there's answers to their problems, solutions. How will they know unless we tell them? Remember the Bible there? How will they know unless we tell them? Now, I don't believe billboards bring people to Jesus. I believe people bring people to Jesus. But here's what I do believe about things like billboards and newspapers and commercials and things like that. It reinforces and builds confidence so that when you're at work and you share with somebody, hey, I go to Life Church, they're like, I've seen something about that church. And it reinforces them all over the place that we exist. And it helps come behind your invitation, your personal invitation. It puts a thought there that they didn't even know we were coming. They didn't even know we existed except for that thought was there. I'll tell you a practical example. I've been driving around our city, and I don't even know who this person was, but if you've heard of Shun Yu, anybody? Shun Yu? It's like this Asian ballet person, right? I didn't even know that Shun Yu existed, but everywhere I go in my city, it's basically telling me, if I don't go see Shun Yu, I've missed the rapture. Like, it's the coolest thing. I have no idea, but you know what it was? Is they brought it to my awareness that it existed. And they've been telling us and telling us and telling us, not just once in a while, but telling us and telling us that this is happening, this is coming. Why? They're helping you see it. They're helping you know what's coming. If nobody told you, you wouldn't know anything about Shun Yu. And I think all of us would be the worst for it. And obviously, we're going to continue to let people know we exist by serving and cleaning and volunteering and all those wonderful things that we do. In life, in business, many of you are business people, but it's part of this, the human nature. I actually was talking to a lady out in the lobby just after the last service. She used to be a military recruiter for the Army. And there's this rule of sevens. And she said the same thing. She said, Pastor Kevin, we used to do that in the Army all the time. There's this rule of sevens that people must encounter you seven times in order to remember you. Now, I believe this is so important for us as a church. Because if you just do like one mailer out there and like, oh, they're all going to know about Life Church, one mailer isn't going to do anything. I'm talking about an all-out like effort to make sure our community knows that we exist and that we're here to help when they're ready for help. I'm not talking about putting a finger in their face saying, you should go to church. No, I'm talking about letting them know the good things that God's doing in our church, the good things that God's doing through your life, and that we're available and visible so that when they're ready to come to Jesus or ready to explore God, there's a thought, maybe I should go to that Life Church that I keep hearing about all over the place. There's this rule of sevens. Why do you have to encounter someone seven times in order for them to remember you? The first one is life is filled with a lot of noise. Write that down. Man, our lives are so busy. You're running the kids around. You've got bills to pay. You've got, you know, now we got Christmas season coming up, and there's about 4,500 Christmas parties you have to go to. I mean, your dog's throwing up in the car. There's just stuff happening all over. Life is noisy. And so people know that just to get above the noise, we have to consistently say, we're here, we're here, we're here. This is what we do. This is what we do. We're here, we're here, we're here. Just to get above the noise, number one. Number two, they may not be in a place where they need you right now. They don't need you yet. You know, people's lives are always in flux. At one point in their life, they're like, man, I don't need God. I don't need anything. I'm doing great. But you know, 6 months, things can really drastically change. And they could be at a place where they're in a desperate place in need of something. Now, here's the deal. If we haven't made the effort to let them know we exist, if we haven't made the effort to let them know we're a place of hope, we're a city on a hill, that we have some answers, some solution, that we're a loving place filled with good works, if we don't let them know, when they're looking for answers, if they don't know to look to God, they're gonna try to fill that void with something else. And typically what they're gonna fill that void with is everyone else that put themselves in their view. Alcohol, drugs, pornography, all kinds of sinful living and things like that. You see what I'm saying? Because they're hurting, they're in a place of pain, and so the people that have been the most visible and available, that have been pumping their information into their head, when their life falls apart, they're believing their gospel. Do you see what I'm saying? The world is preaching something. And so when the body of Christ, the light of the world, consistently puts themselves in front of the hurting world and says, we have hope, there are answers, God is alive, there are solutions, we want to love you, we want to serve you. When their life begins to have need, they're like, maybe we should try that. Because we helped them become aware. We think people think about church and say no to church. Most people don't even think about going to church. We have to help them think about it and then even think of why would it be valuable to even go. Do you understand this? Do you remember before you were a Christian, how you didn't think every Sunday morning, oh, I should be in church? Only if you were raised in church. Most of the world, if they weren't raised in church, they don't feel guilty not going to church. They don't think about it at all. So we have to help them by going into their world and helping them know what we do and who we are and how we can add value, which goes to the next one. We help them see the value of church, just consistently bragging on Jesus, consistently living good lives in front of them, being helpful, being present, being available, helping them meet their needs and answer their questions. And the last thing is they don't know, like, or trust you yet. And so every time they encounter us on social media or they encounter some sort of a billboard or a magazine article, a radio spot, or even better, they encounter a believer live and in the flesh in front of them who's the best worker in the factory, who's the best teacher in the school, who's constantly interested in helping other people. They're building an opinion about the body of Christ. Are you understanding this? You are helping shape that opinion of the body of Christ. I love it. So you might be wondering why I have this thing of groceries here on the side of the stage. Hey, Pastor Kevin, I've been looking at these groceries for the last 45 minutes. Let me tell you about these groceries. Yeah, now you're getting hungry, right? Yeah. This is an illustration I want you to see in the grocery store. You may or may not realize, some of you do, you may or may not realize that there is an all-out war for shelf space in a grocery store. People pay, brands pay, extreme amounts of money to make sure that you see them. And what shelf, they know which shelves sell the most stuff. Did you know that? You think you're just casually buying things? No, no, my friend. They are guiding you in what you're buying. They know how tall your child is. Come on now. It's all been thought through. And that's why the great value stuff is way down here and all the name brand stuff is right here, is because they want to be visible and available and they pay the price to be visible and available. I had a guy last night in church. He goes, Pastor Kevin, that's exactly right. He goes, I'm actually in the grocery store business. And he goes, and they paid lots of money to be in the right space. And here's their belief on it. This is their sentence. He goes, this is their sentence that they say in the grocery store. They say, if they can't see you, they don't know they need you. It's kind of like out of sight, out of mind, right? But if they see you, they begin to want you. And that's why they pay the price to be seen. Church, I'm telling you, sometimes we just think that the world doesn't want anything to do with us. I'm telling you, the world knows very little about what's going on in church nowadays. We have to pay the price to want to be seen. We have to help them see the church of this generation. This church of this generation is not like the church of their old generations. You know, I know there was a time where church was about fire, brimstone, guilt, condemnation. I get that. But you know what? The church of Jesus today is healing the sick. The church of Jesus today is delivering those that are in bondage. The church of Jesus today is learning how to be the light and learning how to lead a generation. You see what I'm saying? The church of Jesus today is helping people grow up in their identity and embrace the grace of God to come out of sin. Yeah, but to also understand that there's so much more that God has for them. The church today is awesome. I believe it's the most, it's so under-understood or undervalued and appreciated because the media has done such a great job and all the movies, all they see are pastors and churches that are so out of touch and they don't have any relevance or bearing on the human life in this generation. So we have to help them see the relevance. We have to help them see the value. We have to live it out loud, live it in front of them, not just in the building. Bragging on Jesus in social media, bragging on Jesus as we serve the community and help them in a very real way, going to our neighbor and saying, I want to add value and I want to help you any way that I can, to pay the price to let them know we exist and that we are here to help. Maria, would you come up and help me with just some practical ideas on how to make that happen?
Hasn't this been good? You enjoying this? I love it. That gets me fired up. All of it just really does because it's all about people, right? It's just all about people. We just love people. Amen? God loves people. And I love this, paying the price to be seen. And so what I'm excited to share with you today, it may come across just a little bit practical, but I got to tell you, some of the most practical things are the most spiritual things that we can do. Amen? Because we live in a practical world and God has put us in this very practical world to change some lives and to affect the people around us. And you know what? Every single one of us has a sphere of influence, the people that surround our lives on a daily basis. And so there are moments, obviously today's message is extremely evangelistic in nature. And so there are moments where we go out specifically to evangelize. But do you know, like we've been talking about, your life is an evangelistic tool. We've been talking about being a city on a hill and to let your light shine. And that is what we do 24/7, 7 days a week. We do let our light shine, and our life is a city on the hill. And I want to talk today about some practical steps that we can begin to do to begin to stop hiding in the luggage. Everybody with me? Stop hiding in the luggage. So there's moments that we go out and evangelize. There are moments that the Lord leads us to walk up to somebody that maybe we've never met and said, hey, if you die today, do you know where you'd go? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? There are moments for that. But I'm going to talk today a little bit about our everyday life and how we live our lives on a daily basis, because your life speaks. Everything about how you live, everything that you're doing speaks to the people around us. And I want us to stop hiding in the luggage and to be that city on a hill. Amen? And so how do we begin to do that? So I want to read to you from Luke chapter 19, and I'm going to look at verses 1 through 5. And it says this, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to know who he was, but he couldn't get to them because it was so crowded, because he was of little stature," meaning he was short, so he couldn't see. "And he ran before them and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see Jesus, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And so as I was praying about this a few minutes, the Lord dropped this passage in my heart. And I thought, of course, what better individual to look at who used their sphere of influence and who affected and was a city on the hill and a light, let their light shine, than Jesus, right? Jesus did an amazing job at that. And so there's 4 points that I felt like the Lord wanted me to share with you today. And all 4 of them you can find coming out of this scripture reference. But the first one is this, is just to begin to see people. Jesus was crowded. There was a lot of people around him. There was tons of people, and he was busy. He was walking with intention. He was going to a specific place. But do you know that he was paying attention to the Holy Spirit on the inside of him? And he stopped. He looked up in a tree, and he could have easily passed by and even had the thought, who's this short guy up in this tree? But he didn't. He stopped, and he saw Zacchaeus. And he didn't just see somebody in a tree, but he saw the person of Zacchaeus. And the Lord began to talk to him. Well, I mean, Holy Spirit even quickened him and he knew that God wanted to do something in Zacchaeus's life. Amen? So he stopped, which means that's just intentional on our part, because how many of you know that we live very busy lives? Anybody with kids? Need I say more? Right. I mean, our lives are just extremely busy. And so it's very easy to go and just go about what we're doing and forget to see people. But if we can purpose in our heart, you know, you get to build your life around what matters most. And if we purpose in our heart that people are important and we're open, say, Lord, help me to see people. Whether you're checking out at the grocery store and you just look up and you look in the eyes of the person checking out your groceries and see that person, see the people around you. If you're dropping your kids off at school, even if you're picking them up, just taking a minute to see people and just training ourselves to begin to see people. That's the first thing. Notice people, pause, look for people. The second point that I want to make is this, and I like to call it, I just say, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Pastor Kevin was talking about this. He talked about how so many times when we build relationships where it begins, we stop because of intimidation, or we stop because of insecurity, or everything becomes about us. What are they going to think? How am I going to show up? All this stuff where it becomes about us. But he said a quote, and I don't know if he said it in this service, but he said it in the first service. He said, intimidation comes when you think about you, but courage comes when you think about others. When you can pull yourself out of you and making that relationship where it's not so much about how they're going to receive you. How many of you know that that's emotional maturity, right? That's a mature adult. When you can begin to reach out to somebody, and it doesn't matter how they receive you, because truth be told, the way that they respond to you and the way that they respond to how you wanting to build a relationship speaks a whole lot more about what's going on in the inside of them than it does about you. If they can't receive you, here, friends, chances are the people that you begin to reach out to, you begin to minister to, do you know that not every single person is probably going to receive you with wide open arms? But is that okay? Is that okay? Are you going to continue to reach out to other people? Does it affect you? Does it affect your identity? Does it affect the fact that you're filled with the Holy Spirit and power? Does it change the fact that they still need you? Does it change the fact that they still need what's on the inside of you? No. It just shows you that what's going on in the inside of them. That there's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of garbage. There's a lot of bondage. So what are you going to do? You're going to continue to reach out. But we don't shrink back and we don't hold back. Amen? Because we know who we are. And because it's about them. So I like to take a breath and take a moment and to refocus. And before I begin to reach out to somebody, before I even say hi, and just a purpose, and just to realize, okay, I have what this person needs. And I'll even take a minute and I'll focus and I'll begin to picture this person and picture the effect that Jesus can have on their lives. How's their life going to be different when Jesus becomes a part of it? And I put myself in that place where I begin to care about them way more than I care about me in that moment. Amen? So get out of the way. Purpose to change your thinking from being you focused to being others focused. Take a breath and step out even if you have to do it afraid. Isn't that what living by faith is? It's not paying attention to how we feel, but doing what God's asked us to do anyway. Amen? The third thing is to begin to build community and to build relationship with people. You say, oh, Maria, how do I do that? Well, I'm going to tell you something that sounds so very simple, but it's genius. You ready? Just say hi. Just say hi. Just be interested. Say hi. Get really good at asking questions. Get really good at asking questions. Be interested. Be really good at being interested. People are amazing. You can learn so much from them. But just listen. Get really good at listening. Hi, how are you? I saw your daughter. She's in second grade. Is she having a good year? How are things going? My name is Maria. Really nice to meet you. My kid's in fourth grade. How long have you been coming to the school? How long have you been at this workplace? Where did you, how long have you lived in Roscoe? Just ask questions. Get to know people. Be interested. Listen, and that probably means that they're going to do about 70% of the talking. And that's perfect. Because if you're doing most of the talking, then again, it's probably more about you than it is them. And they're probably not enjoying the conversation quite as much as you think they are. Did I say that? I did. I totally said that. Okay. Build community. So be interested. Ask questions. Listen. Listen for ways that you can add value. If you know that they need a babysitter and you're like, man, I know this really great youth group. Let me reach out and see if any kids are available. You just filled a need. You're listening. You're adding value. Do they need help walking groceries to the car? Reach out, add value. Go help them do that. And then I like to say follow up. Once you've connected with somebody, once you've started a conversation, maybe the next day, follow up and send a message and say, hey, it was so good. Like on Messenger, Facebook Messenger, great tool. I love using it because I can send a message and say, it was so nice to meet you yesterday. Loved that your daughter's in second grade. I'm so excited. Maybe on the next party, I'll look for you. We can say hi or we can grab a cup of coffee or something. Just thanking them. It was so nice. And can you imagine how far that goes, how much that means to somebody with it? You were talking to them, but you remembered them the next day. That's a really big deal. And that's a great way to begin to build relationship. And then invite them. Invite them to a cup of coffee. Invite them to something that you're already doing. Bring them into your circle. Bring them into your circle of friends already that you're doing. Build community. Build relationships. Start conversations. And that, my friends, is one of those ways that we connect with them over 7 times. Because you're probably, because it's the first conversation. And then it's a follow-up on Messenger. And then it's maybe the next time you connect and you remember things that you talked about. And you bring that back up and say, hey, how is this going? And then maybe after the couple times, then you grab a cup of coffee and you bring them around other people. That's how you develop a relationship. And again, I know it sounds so simple, but I tell you what, it's powerful because that's how they're going to see what you have and they want. And the last thing is this, be attractive. Let me ask you a question. Are you somebody that you would want to be friends with? Honest, be attractive. How are you showing up in your sphere of influence? Are you just as grumpy? Are you just as complaining? Are you just as gossipy? Are you just as irritated and irritable? Are you just as depressed or down in the dumps or hopeless as everybody else around you? Or Has your life been changed by Jesus? Yes, has he delivered you and set you free? Do you believe that the joy of the Lord is your strength? Do you believe that you have peace that passes all understanding? Do you believe that God goes with you and that you are not alone and that you are hopeful? Amen? I'm not saying that you're perfect, but your life should have some sort of outflow of the goodness of God and what he's done on the inside of you. And are you living that? Does your face show it? Are you kind? Are you generous? Are you one of those people that are excited to give? Are you speaking life rather than death? Is there a difference? Be attractive. Is there something about your life that says to somebody, gosh, I want to know them because my life is going to be better when I get to know them. My life is going to be impacted in a positive way. There's something about their life that's different, and your face shows it, my friends. Sometimes we don't realize how grumpy we look. We don't realize how depressed we come across. We don't realize how negative we seem. But when God has impacted the inside of you, the natural outflow of that is going to be positive. Be attractive. Be somebody that somebody wants to be friends with. Are you somebody that you would want to be friends with? It's a great place to start. People wanted to be around Jesus. They were constantly around him. Why? Well, for obvious reasons. Amen? So as we close, I'm going to pass it back to Pastor Kevin. The 4 points again. Four ways to be a city on the hill and to begin to let your light shine and to stop hiding in the luggage, to use what God's placed on the inside of you, is to begin to notice people. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. Don't let mindsets or concepts that you might have or the fear of rejection or ways that you think, what are they going to think? Stop, silence it, pull yourself back, take a breath, and begin to focus on them and about loving them. It's about them. Amen. Get out of the way. Build community. Build relationships. Just begin to start having conversations. Begin to know people. Get really good at asking questions. Be a great listener. And then be attractive. How are you showing up? Amen? Amen. All right.
So simple, but you think if everyone knew it, they should be doing it, right? But, I mean, we don't even pay attention. Sometimes I go to church or go to lunch after church or something. We go to Chili's or who knows what. And we'll see Christians there. And you can look at their attitude in their faces, and they look like they just came from a funeral. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, no, man, you just came for the house of the Lord. Like, we don't pay attention to how we're acting or how we're treating our server. We're like, give me some more chips. And we're all going to have, like, individualized orders, and we're going to change everything, and then we're going to all have separate checks, and none of us are going to tip you. You know what I'm saying? That's terrible. We really do need to think about how we're showing up. We are the light. We bring that light everywhere we go. Real quick opportunity, and then we're going to end. I can have the altar team come on up. For those of you that are on Facebook, how many of you are on Facebook? Raise your hand. Remember what I said, social media is not going away. Social media is not a bad thing. And it needs to be filled with good content. It needs to be filled with the good news about what Jesus is doing. And so we're creating a Facebook group. And so right now, guys, if you have those slides, go ahead and just put it on the screen. We're inviting you to join our life group, our Life Church social media group. And basically, we're gathering people who are willing to join us to use their social media to help us tell the good news about what the Lord's doing around here. So we're going to have, on that group, we're going to be posting videos of people who've been healed, testimonies. We're going to have things that the church is doing, ministries are about to start, just all kinds of stuff that then you can take and you can share it as you desire to on your personal social media, on your personal Facebook or whatever. We're going to have trainings on there, like live Facebook Live trainings to kind of teach you how to utilize and maximize your influence on social media. We want to mobilize the body of Christ on social media. So we're not haphazardly using it, but think about if we joined our forces together and use our social media together to preach the good news about Jesus and let people know what's going on around here. So if you want to join us, would you look at these three steps real quick? Go ahead and take out your phone, open up your Facebook app right now. This is a little bit of housekeeping business. Open up your Facebook app. Don't be checking your messages right now. Join and go find the Life Church social media on the app, and then go to step two, Life Church social media. And then you're going to look for that group. It says Life Church Social Media, Roscoe, Illinois. It would be way more helpful for you to join our Life Church group rather than Life Church TV from Oklahoma, okay? So we want to make sure you choose the right Life Church, Roscoe, Illinois. Click that group. And then third step is basically just hit the big blue join group button. What we're going to do, and go ahead and do that right now, is our social media director is going to get a hold of you, start posting in that group, start welcoming you all into the group, start developing some training times, and we're going to have photos and videos and information and things that you can consistently on that group be made aware that's happening, and then you can be sharing it and letting our light shine, letting the world see that God is still doing good things in this world, you know, and even letting them know what's going on up here in Roscoe. They don't know what's up here. They don't know what they don't know. And so social media will be one of those ways to help us organize and make that happen. Why don't you go ahead and stand? We're going to close in a word of prayer, and we're going to dismiss. The altars are going to be open. If you need prayer for healing, or if you need to get your life right with the Lord, you can make that decision today. If you are not right with God, then I encourage you, come on down, let us know. We have Bibles for you. We have materials to help you. We want to pray with you. Let me bless you and dismiss you. And then lastly, in the lobby, we have a Mickey Mouse table out there. So if you would help us with our first impressions, we're rehauling our lobby out there. We want to make it the most excellent, most customer service, most friendly place available. And so December 1st and 2nd, we have some training that we're inviting you to. Would you sign up for one of those training sessions? We're going to feed you a meal, and we're going to do a training time and get you into a team. We're excited about taking care of people in the best possible way. Let's go ahead and bless you and dismiss you. God, right now, I thank you for Life Church. I thank you for all the stuff that you took care of today, and worship and communion, and then praying for those in freedom from offense and unforgiveness. God, I thank you that lives are moving forward. I thank you for reminding us as a church to be present and available, to be the city on a hill, to make a decision to be seen, to make a decision to be visible and available. God, I thank you that Life Church, that God, you teach us how to be fishers of men. You teach us how to affect our region. We don't just want to sit on the corner. We want to make a difference as a church. We want to make impact. We want to help people know that Jesus is still alive. Jesus is still doing these things. And so God, give us skill. Give us consistency. Help us to do the work. We give you thanks. We give you praise for all you're about to do in our generation. We're not just looking back saying, oh, I wish I lived in a revival like that. Lord, we're going to live revival. We're going to be revival. And I thank you for where we're headed as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for coming. You're dismissed.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Life Church, visit www.lifechurchag.com and engage with us on social media at Life Church AG on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.